science is interesting, and if you don't agree, you can fuck off.
Marcus, welcome back.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Good break?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Good rest.
Okay. Well, let's jump straight into it then.
Right,
what's on the cards for the year?
Well, I mean, who knows, really.
Probably not the best statement when we're talking about science, is it?
No, well, so I thought it's the first show of the year, and we'd look ahead a little bit on what could be in the headlines this year. Certainly things that are coming up. And I've got a few different things here, just half a dozen little topics. First, we'll talk about climate science a little bit. And in climate science, we seem to understand the Earth's warming better if we look at the poles. Things are happening at the poles with all the ice melting and things like that. And there's a couple of expeditions, I guess you could call them, happening this year to try and unravel a bit more about what's happening in the mainly in the South Pole in Antarctica. So in September, there's an icebreaker. They're actually going to freeze. Oh, no, sorry, this is the Arctic. They're going to freeze in the Arctic sea ice, and it's just going to stay there for a year. So it's going to be locked in, I guess, and float around and sort of move around the Arctic as wow. The ice melts and moves and shifts and things like that. And it's a sort of a central hub for a big multidisciplinary sort of observatory to study Arctic climate and climate change and things like that, polar clouds, ocean dynamics. And so that's one thing. And then also towards the end of the year, there's a big project between the US and the UK on something called the Thwaites Glacier in the Antarctic. That's one of the most at risk of sort of dropping into the sea and melting completely. There'll be a big expedition out to that glacier, $50 million 5-year effort, and they're probing ice structure, the water beneath it, and the land beneath it, and using seismometers and all sorts of instruments to do that. So a big push near the poles.
Climate science, though, more generally, what I've found is that every so often more information comes out or more studies are done, and basically what they're finding is that the situation is worse than what we thought the last time something new came out.
Right.
Is this because we don't understand what we're up against, and that's what all of this research is about?
Yeah, I think it's just such a complex system. Yeah, and the more measurements you do, the more you understand it. As simple as that, really. And I think you're right. The more measurements we do, you realize how deep and deep into the poo we are at the moment in terms of what's been happening, what's been changing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Next one.
Yeah, next one. Sort of, this is a science policy thing. So apparently, in his infinite wisdom, Donald Trump, has been making all his science decisions without any science advisors in the White
House. None at all.
Yeah, because he's really smart. There will be, apparently, there's one been appointed who's waiting approval, and he will have, hopefully, be approved in 2019. So maybe that means the science in the U.S. will get back on course. But he's been, there's a lot of things, obviously, like regulation of human embryo engineering, self-driving cars, combating cyber terrorism, that are on the cards in the US, and these are big decisions that have to be made. And but already he's decided by himself to leave the Paris Climate Accord and to forsake the Iran nuclear deal, all of which you would have thought would have been decisions would have benefited from
an
having
advisor.
A science advisor. Yeah,
there is politics and science, though, isn't there? Where, I mean, did Trump pick this new advisor, or
good question. I'm not sure. I think he did. Yes, it's his pick.
Beneficial to Trump if he goes and picks somebody that agrees with him.
Yeah, it's certainly his pick, but he needs Senate approval before he can be appointed.
Okay. All right, next one.
Another climate science one, because it's pretty important. So there's a big experiment scheduled for later in the year. It's led by a team from, I think, Harvard University, who are trying to dim the sun a little bit, which seems a pretty major thing to do. But it's a geoengineering technique, and it's one of these ideas. There's a bit of controversy behind it, but one of these ideas to sort of curb global warming. And it's a very, very small-scale test. So what they're doing is they are spraying into the high atmosphere, into the stratosphere, a small amount of reflective aerosol particles. So these are just, all they're doing is releasing 100 grams, which is virtually nothing, of calcium carbonate, which is basically antacid. This is reflective of solar radiation. So the idea is if it's high in the atmosphere, it can reflect that solar radiation back out into space rather than it hitting the planet. So they'll release this tiny amount and carefully monitor temperature changes and things like that.
So if it works, you'd ideally see a bit of like slowing down of us heating up.
Right. So if it works, then it's like a mechanism to sort of regulate the amount of solar radiation that hits the planet.
I feel like that goes against what we probably should be doing, is looking at our own actions in terms of how we got here in the
Yeah, it's this
place.
Sort of prevention rather than the cure thing. Are we going to try and fix the problem, or are we going to try and sort of put a Band-Aid over it?
But I guess in the meantime, while we fix the problem, this could be
useful.
Yes, helpful. Yeah,
right. Could possibly be helpful. Okay. Another one, this is biotechnology now. So later in the year, these genetically modified mosquitoes. So they're going to be releasing these genetically modified mosquitoes in Africa, in Burkina Faso. And this is a strategy against malaria. And it's called a gene drive strategy.
I remember this story, from last year.
Okay. So this will be the first time this is done, and this particular genus of mosquito is the one that is responsible for transmitting parasites, which are responsible for the disease. And in the end, they hope that these mosquitoes will stem the spread of malaria. They'll spread mutations through the wild population that knock out the fertile genes. Or they'll reduce the proportion of female insects which do transmit the disease.
Right.
This is a small-scale test. It won't bear such mutations, and they aren't intended to cut down the population, but they are releasing, I think, 10,000 genetically sterilized males to see how they survive and disperse, and sort of just a survey for the big release.
But this, we don't know what this could mean, right? If mosquitoes become either wiped out, or a certain strain of mosquitoes are wiped out, won't this have a detrimental effect in some way on...
Yes, I mean, I guess you can't always predict what's going to happen. It doesn't necessarily have to be detrimental, but you can't always predict.
Right.
And so I guess this is why this small-scale study is being done, so they can better see what the big experiment's going to do.
Cool.
Yeah.
Another one?
Space science now. In July, NASA is going to decide where it's going to go next. So it's got a couple of...
It's done with Mars.
It's for its next mission.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's not going to go back to Mars again, but it's already on Mars doing various things. But they'll keep going. And there's this the next billion-dollar mission in its New Frontiers program. There's two finalists. One is called, and this is the really cool one, is called Dragonfly. It's got the best name. It would send a semi-autonomous quadcopter to fly across the surface of Titan, which is this moon of Saturn, which has this atmosphere. We landed on it a few years ago. Oh. And it will sort of fly around this moon and send back lots of data, which sounds just really cool to me. The other one is called the Comet Astrobiology Exploration Sample Return. It does not have a catchy name, which I think is a complete disqualifier.
They could work on that.
And so that's going to go to a comet. And it's going to get samples and bring them back and see how these comets are formed and how they related to the formation of the solar system and that sort of stuff.
Brilliant.
I think the Dragonfly one sounds cool.
Should we do one more?
One more, okay. Yes. Let's see. Okay, so let's skip a couple and let's do bioethics. So China, as you may have heard, I don't know if you talked about this towards the end of the year.
I mean, if we're talking about CRISPR?
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So there's this guy in China who, in November, he announced that he modified a gene in embryos that led to two twin baby girls.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's also said that there are more babies on the way. So China, a lot of scientists, a lot of people in uproar about this and, you know, playing God and all that. And so China has decided it needs to tighten its rules for genetic engineering, and especially genetic engineering of humans. So the scientist did his work and made a modification which was meant to protect the twins from HIV infections. But it's been condemned, and so China, in China, the regulations are quite lax. They haven't been updated since 2003, and they certainly haven't been updated to cover advances in gene editing. So a big thing that's going to go on in China this year is they've got to get up to speed. They've got to get their ethicists and officials to agree on new regulations.
Right.
And also the question for the year is whether the scientist is going to face sanctions, whether he's going to, you know, be penalised for what he did.
Okay, so we're going to keep on top of all of those stories this year and the ones we missed. Thank you, Marcus, for coming in. I look forward to another year of Dear Science.
Cool. See you soon.
That was Dear Science.